I want to thank you to our technical team that helps us to stay on track. Thank you for all those who participated in the worship service thus far. And we want to ask God's Holy Spirit to be present with us continually. May we have a listening ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to each of us, because he speaks to us based on our need. And we all have a need. One need is for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So shall we bow our heads? Father, thank you again that you have us covered. Cover us with your robe of righteousness. Cover our filthy rags. Speak truth into our hearts today. And may these lips of clay, may all the glory go to you and none of me. And that as we worship you today, our spirit, our worship will be acceptable. O Lord, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm pressing ahead because we have a very different service today. I have three helpers who is going to help to magnify the title of this message, Grateful to Our God. And I thank Sister Colleen Harvey, Sister Lisa Shannon, and Sister Frieda Thornton, who will help me to give glory to God and to show gratitude to him. I want to pick up on the last two verses of our scripture reading. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. What a word. What a text for today. But also in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we have this sad indictment. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And certainly we are experiencing peril today. And the one major sign of the times that we're living in is unthankfulness. I want you to hear that word, unthankfulness, ingratitude, ungrateful. The Lord has blessed us with so many of his blessings, and we still are complaining. I don't have this, and I don't have that. And so at family worship last night, we had the chance to rehearse how God has led us as a family. And every time we take a leap, God has caught us and he has landed us safely. He didn't let us fall off the cliff. He says, leap, I got you. I got you covered. I remember I used to play that with my my little boys and my daughter when they were little. You put them up on a higher plane and you tell them to jump, and they always jump and they know that daddy's going to catch them. And so that's what we have to have, that trust, that confidence that God will catch us every time. And so in every class of society, gratitude is the rarest of all human virtues. Making the ungrateful grateful will bring tears to your eyes. Unhappiness is a contagious disease caused by a chronic deficiency of gratitude. You cannot, at the very same time, be grateful and unhappy, or ungrateful and happy. It is impossible to lose everything and still be alive. And so gratitude is often caused not by gain, but by loss. The problem is we are ungrateful, and God cannot stop being nice to us. What a God we serve. And so the mind is inclined to zoom in on the problems to the extent that we cannot see our many blessings. As the songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Suffering and happiness are not mutually exclusive. We ought to be thankful not only for what we have, but also for what we don't have. All deaf people would like an opportunity to spend the entire day listening to me whine about what I don't have. Some people are happy that they have lost one instead of both legs. Some are unhappy because they've lost a toenail or a fingernail. But gratitude tends to attract the things for which we are grateful in advance. Usually, what could have been better could also have been worse. But we don't see that. We tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. And so the truly grateful are also grateful for being grateful. Some people would love the results of the situation for which some have committed suicide, taking their lives, because they don't know that living is something to be grateful for, to be alive, even though you're going through difficulties. And so thanking is a form of payment that exponentially pays forward both personally and professionally. And people are far more likely to collaborate and to be around or to hire people who are grateful rather than those that are ungrateful. Even the worst that has ever happened to you could have been worse. And so we need to be blessed with sanity to realize that we have been cursed with such things as poverty and disability. Growing up, I didn't know I was poor. Only wore shoes to church. The other times I walked barefooted. What a blessing that was. Didn't realize that it was important to be connected to the ground and playing with my siblings in a tree, swinging on a swing across the river, going fishing in the river. That was the best life. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Didn't know we were poor because every day we had something to eat. And so sometimes a man with eyes still can't see the beautiful woman you are. And so every morning I wake up, I tell my beautiful wife laying in the bed next to me, you are beautiful. Because I only got eyes for her, praise God. And so there are many dying from thirst, while there are many running for dear life away from rain and water. I saw on the news this week, a lady, the hurricane hit this country twice, and she was standing on the concrete slab where her house was, lost everything. But she had everything because she had life. Hallelujah. And so, believe me, says Anne Frank, if you have been shut up for a year and a half, it can get to be too much for you sometimes. But feelings can't be ignored, no matter how unjust or ungrateful they seem. So we've been shut up in our homes, but at least we have homes. Amen. At least we have Zoom. We can meet each other. Amen. So don't look at what we don't have, what we can't do. Look at what we can do. Hallelujah. More time to spend with your loved ones. More time to read God's word. So don't complain. We can't meet. Thank the Lord that we can meet this way. Mm-hmm. And I dare say it has drawn us even closer. I know for certain my elders and I, we have grown closer because we get to meet and we don't have to discuss theological things. We spend time in prayer and encouraging one another, praying for each other's family. And so abundance and prosperity begins with gratitude and appreciation. Amen? That's how we have abundance. Thank the Lord for what we do have, not what we don't have. And so there are five things I want you to write down and memorize them. Gratitude glorifies God. Gratitude helps us see God. Gratitude puts us squarely in God's will. Gratitude brings peace. You're contented, and it draws us near to God. And so this alone could be reason to give thanks to God. Our gratitude glorifies God as we exalt not the gift, not the gifts, but the giver. Gratitude helps us realize all we have comes not because of us, but it comes from God. It is not your education or your skills or your, there are many people out of work now. Some of you, thank God, you're educated enough. You don't have to have hands-on jobs. You can work from home. My daughter says, well, she could work from home forever because all you need is a phone and a computer connection. What a blessing. And so as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more of the glory. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Can you say amen? And so gratitude helps us to glorify God. Gratitude helps us to see God. It opens our spiritual eyes, brothers and sisters. There's a beautiful cycle in giving thanks. The more we thank him, the more we see him working in us and around us. Gratitude helps us sense God's presence, his personal care, and his perfect timing. Everything is right on time. So don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, James 1:16-17. So yes, gratitude helps us to see God. It also puts us squarely in God's will. And so we often make God's will out to be something really, really big, mystical. But it's simply obedience. A part of his will is for us to be thankful, not just on the sunny days. Today's a beautiful sunny day over here on the eastern shore. Nice day to go walking. Nice little breeze blowing. The leaves are falling, and I got my good exercise the other day, raking up my neighbor's leaves. She got a whole bunch of forest trees. I might have said that to you before. And boy, wasn't it tiresome. I slept good that night after raking all those leaves. So yes, God blesses us to live in a quiet place on a sunny day. Beautiful. So we give God thanks for the rainy days when they come. Because guess what? When it rains, it replenishes my well. I don't have to draw water from the city. I have my own well. And God sends rain and it soaks the ground. And it allows me to drink abundantly and to bathe in fresh, clean water. Not water contaminated with chlorine and so forth and so on. So I give him thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But gratitude also brings you peace. Count your blessings, not sheep. We're told to get rid of the worry keeping us up at night. Gratitude helps us to see that God's hand is all over our circumstance. God has ordered everything according to his will. And God tells us when we give him thanks, he gives us supernatural peace. So are you worried about the future? Are you worried with the conflict in our nation and around the world? Yes, we see all those things, but we know God's got it and he'll take care of it. He tells me and you in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, thank you for the hard times, Lord. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to lose your mind about the problems in our nation or the problems in your family, your children not doing right. Let them alone. Just pray for them because they get to the place where you can't tell them anything. They smarter than you, grandpa, grandma. They got it, but guess what? God will bring them through their own time of trouble, and then they will have to run to him. And the fifth point, gratitude draws us to God. You see, gratitude for the multitude of God's undeserved kindness draws us to him. We see that when Jesus healed 10 lepers,
As Jesus walked by, all 10 cried out for healing. "Go show yourself to the priest," Jesus commanded. And as they went, they were healed. They knew that they weren't supposed to be around other people. So you're going to go down to the synagogue with your leprosy? Man, you're not supposed to be around people. You had to leave your home. You had to be out in the bush by yourself with the other lepers, and you commiserate with each other, and you sit in dust and you scrape yourself because you got this plague on your skin. It's pretty similar to what we're experiencing now. People are quarantined. They have to be away from their family because they're contaminated. But Jesus said to them, go as they were going. Jesus commanded them. As they went, they were healed. Fingers were restored. Ulcers disappeared. A full sensation returned to their faces and their limbs. Certainly, they were all happy. They were thankful. But guess what? Only one came back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and thanked him. And so Jesus asked the question in Luke chapter 17, verse 17 through 19, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise, go, your faith has made you well. And so, brothers and sisters, if God would remove all the things for which we are not thankful, then what would we have left? And so today we have 3 testimonies of gratitude. Sisters Colleen, Sister Lisa, Sister Frida have returned, praise God, to give praise and thanksgiving to God for restoring them. And we're going to take the first one. Sister Colleen, unmute yourself, open your camera, and just share your testimony, because today is a day of thanksgiving to God.
Hello, everyone. I am grateful for this opportunity to share my testimony. Let me first say, how can I say thanks to God for all the good things that he has done for me? Things so undeserved, yet he gave to prove his love for me. To God be the glory. In Exodus 23:25, it says a portion, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's what God promised. And this year in April, I got diagnosed with COVID-19. I'm a nurse, and I got this disease at work. And it was very nerve-wracking, to say the least, because you see how many people are losing their lives. Yes, a lot of people recovered, but people have lost their lives. And one should not take it for granted that, oh, I'm young. It's a must that I must get better. No, I'm not like that. And I know certain things can happen in life. So that is the background on which I am giving this testimony today. So when you realize that you have a disease that can actually take your life, you look at life very differently. I mean, we go through different things in life sometimes, but I realize that in the gift of life that God has given me, that he has given me a second chance. And I'm grateful for that second chance for a lot of things. First thing is that I'm grateful for my relationships. I get to preserve my relationship, firstly with God, because I grew closer to him during this time. Because when you're quarantined in a room by yourself for 14 days, you have a lot of time to think about things. And you think about your relationship with God, and you think about trust, you think about love, and you think about his kindness towards you. And I promised myself, I'm not going to say, okay, the first thing is that I'm not going to say, why did it happen to me? I'm going to say, God, what do I need to learn from this? It must be something. And then I discovered it was a lot of things. I discovered in my relationship with my husband that he is so loving, he's so supportive, and I am so grateful to God for that.
Amen.
He was there with me throughout everything, and it was just so wonderful to know that I have that support. With my children, Alexia would call me every day to pray with me. Hallelujah. And Ellie would call me every day to make sure I have enough food to eat. Mm. So it's like they were taking care of me on every end. If it's not doing one thing, it's doing the other thing. And I am so grateful for that support, because some people don't have that support.
Mm.
I am grateful to God for second chances, because I don't know if people notice, and people might notice, but I don't really talk about my father much. My hurting father, that is. You guys know my mom. And that's because we've been estranged for a while. Sitting in the basement for 2 weeks let you really think about a lot of things. Because you're thinking, okay, if this is it, is everything okay with me?
Mm.
And he has given me an opportunity, a second chance, because I see this as a second chance to heal with the relationship with my father and not to feel the hurt. God just honestly took away the hurt for the first time. And I don't know how it happened. So don't ask me about that part. Okay. It just happened. It just finally happened. So I'm grateful that I don't hurt so much so more, and we can start to heal, and we can start to have a relationship again after, I won't even list the years. I'm grateful for opportunities and second chances, because in life, God can show me that I can perfect my character even more. Mm-hmm. And Sister Fullwood brought over a nice carob cake for me, and I love chocolate so much. And God has helped me to get over this crave for chocolate, because this carob is so nice. I'm now getting carob tea. I've tried the carob ice cream. I have tried so many different things. So it's like this opportunity to live again and to experience life in a different way. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Sister Fullwood.
Amen.
I am grateful that I can get to share God this afternoon with everyone, to let him know that all those certain circumstances come in your life that would want to break you, he gives you beauty for ashes. And you really, he can really mend you when you don't even, you're not even thinking that it can happen, but he can truly mend you. And I remember when I was ill, I would go to my bed some night, and I'm thinking, am I going to wake up in the morning? And now I realize I go to my bed and I have such peace. Mm-hmm. God makes everything so seamless. It's like, I'm not worried again if I'm going to wake up in the morning. I pray and I just go to sleep. And I said, okay, God, you're in charge of everything. It's like, it really gives you the opportunity to trust him when you go through something really big. And it gives you the opportunity also to clean up your life. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the 8 more months that he has given me, about 32 weeks, about 224 more days with my family, my church family, who I'm looking at right now, because my church family prayed for me. You know, they had me on their mind. They took the time and they prayed for me. And I'm grateful for that. And I thank you for that. And I'm just grateful for my husband again, as I said, and my children, my mom, my sisters, all my other friends that you guys might not know. But I am so thankful for life and what life has given me, a second chance that God has given me. And not only for this life, but for eternal life also, because I see where I'm growing in God and I'm growing in grace. So I thank him. I thank him for this opportunity. It was a hard flogging, to say the least. You know, sometimes I see trial like flogging, so to speak, like some hard punishment. But God was merciful, and he mixed mercy with that, and grace and kindness and compassion and healing that I didn't know I could heal from. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. And you know, some people say the trial was a blessing. I don't know if the trial was a blessing, but I don't know if I'm mature to that level yet, but the effects of the trial was a blessing to my life. And I'm grateful to God. I just want to shout out his name and say, Hosanna in the highest, you know? He's so good to me, and is so wonderful. And throughout the countless ages of eternity, I'm going to be telling him, thank you. Thank you for saving my life, that I can be a parent to this girl, a wife to Mike, a friend to my friends, a church sister to my church brothers and sisters, and just for opportunities for whatever he may send forward. And I just want to thank him. And I thank him today. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Sister Colleen. What a testimony. Thank you, Lord. And so gratitude brings contentment. Did you hear that contentment in Sister Harvey's testimony? Gratitude deepens her faith. Gratitude leads to joy. And gratitude defies Satan's lies. So it is said that gratitude makes what you have enough. If you aren't grateful for what God has given you, getting more won't satisfy you either. And so being thankful is the key to contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 8. So gratitude deepens your faith. It makes you contented. Keeping a record of God's past faithfulness is a faith boost. It's a faith shot when we face new difficulties. Keeping a gratitude journal, include testimonies of your hard days and your difficult circumstances. As Sister Colleen is saying, she starts to begin to count her years, not from her birth, but from the second lease of life. 8 months ago, God rescued her. Hallelujah. And so God's record of faithfulness is 100%. That's why God commanded Israel to remember his great deeds. In Psalm 136:1, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And so gratitude leads to joy. I don't like to use the term happy Sabbath. I like to use the term joyful Sabbath, joyful Thanksgiving, because joy is not just grinning your teeth and hey, it's deeper. It's from within. And so the outflow of gratitude is joy, realizing God's abundant goodness, even in the hard times, is a gateway for joy. Psalm 126 shows this so clearly as the Hebrew exiles sang their thanks to God for bringing them back to Israel. It's a psalm you can pray in advance for years. So here it is, 1 through 3. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Praise God. And so gratitude defies Satan's lies. Satan is a liar. Satan is so deceitful, he whispers that God isn't good enough, that he's withholding good from us. But his schemes are as old as the Garden of Eden, saints, when he questioned Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And so when Eve responded, only the tree of good and evil was off limits, Satan suggested God was keeping good from them. You will not certainly die, the liar said, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so in a garden that was perfect, that produced abundantly without work or weeding. Man, we had to weed our little plot here where we put some little fruit trees in and we put some vegetables in. We had to work, we had to bend and we had to weed, but here they were. Every single plant but one, God says you can't touch it. It was off limits to Adam and Eve. And Satan always focuses on our lack. And he has us tunnel vision, looking at what we don't have. But true gratitude from God and the abundance of his gifts protects us from caving in to the enemy's lies. Don't let him tell you you don't have enough. You're enough. You've got enough. Because it says in Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. And so God has two residents, one in heaven and the other in a grateful, thankful heart. And I'm so glad that Sister Lisa will bless us now with her testimony. So here we are, two and three witnesses today. The matter is settled. So Sister Lisa, add your testimony of gratitude with Sister Colleen.
Good morning, church family. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Like Sister Colleen, my journey with COVID also began in mid-April of this year. But I'm thankful that even prior to that time, God had made it possible for my job to pivot in mid-March when COVID kind of first became officially a thing. And they sent everybody to work from home. And I thought my lifelong dream had finally been realized. I could not have been happier. The less time that I spent commuting gave me more time to be at my home in West Virginia and more time to spend with God that I would have been, you know, traveling the roadways and not being able to enjoy those things. So I'm grateful for that even before I began to realize that I might not be well. But in mid-April, I was excruciatingly tired. And I was coming out from two audits at my two jobs. And so I'm used to being emotionally and mentally tired coming out of audit. But even though I went to West Virginia for a weekend thinking that this would help me to rebound, I just got no better. And so I finally decided it was time to seek some medical attention. And so I'm also thankful that doctor's offices had pivoted by this time and they were seeing people over the internet, where if that had not occurred, I would have had to wait days, maybe weeks to get an appointment to get to the office. But I got a next day appointment, spoke with the doctor. Based on everything I said to her, she never even raised the question of COVID. She said, come on to the office, let's have a test or to get some blood work done. Let's find out what's wrong with you. But when I went into the office, the lab tech looked at me and said, I'm not touching you. You have a fever. And I didn't feel like I had a fever, but somebody came in with a thermometer and said, yes, your fever is sky high. You need to go to a different office to be seen. And there they did COVID and influenza testing. And I was like, that's all well and good. I don't mind taking a COVID test. I'm sure I don't have it. But the influenza tests came back first. They were both negative. I said, oh, this is going to be fine. No worries. But days later, the doctor finally called and said, oh, I haven't heard from you. Did you not hear that you had COVID? I was like, well, how would I hear if you haven't called to tell me? And in that moment, I was shocked, but not afraid. I had no idea what the reason for me having it would be. I have no idea where I got it from. I don't work in a medical setting at all, so I can't blame it on that. But in any case, I said, okay, fine, I'll do the 2 weeks of quarantine. And I stayed here in Silver Spring so that I could be near and be supported by both my spouse and my sister, who took wonderful care of me. I didn't get up out of the bed hardly at all for the 2 weeks that I was in quarantine. They did everything for me, brought everything to me. And I'm grateful for that because I know not everybody has someone available to take care of them like that. As it turns out in the end, I had multiple issues going on. Even though I had a positive diagnosis of COVID, I also had another infection at the time. And I did all the natural things that I could do, but yet my fever was not breaking. And so when the other condition was uncovered, I was given some antibiotics to deal with that. And that's when my fever did break. But I'm also grateful that in the midst of all of that, I never had to go to the hospital. My breathing was never compromised. and I did not transfer the virus to any member of the household where I was being quarantined. Very grateful for that. I am also grateful for the prayers and support of my family, my friends, my church family. Many people called and prayed with me, and I was grateful for all the occurrences of that. Many people had suggestions for things to do for the treatment. Some went so far as to send what they were recommending so that I would be sure to have it and be able to take it. And I appreciated all of that. I also appreciated that we as a church have a health message, which makes recommendations that are helpful in many situations, but even also in COVID. During the time of my quarantine, I have quite the sweet tooth, but I eliminated sweets, drank many hot liquids and soups, spent some time in the sunshine when I felt I could get up and get out to get some sunshine because my vitamin D was also low during that time. Got some fresh air, inhaled a lot of steam trying to keep the air in my lungs warm. But the thing that I think carried me through the entire situation is just trusting God that, one, he did not allow this to happen to me without being able to bring me through it, if that's what he chose. But even if he had not chosen that, whatever his choice was, should be okay with me. If he had caused me to go to sleep during this time, there's no reason for me to be unhappy about that because the next thing I would see would be his face. That's praise what I God. Believe. Amen. And so it is not to be feared by those of us who know the Lord, is what I believe. I'm grateful for the time spent in quarantine. I was alone much of the time. Maurice had to stay away to protect himself and understand that. Wouldn't want him to catch it from me, wouldn't want him to carry it out to other people as he had to go out to work every day. But it gave a lot of time to think, a lot of time to pray, a lot of time to make plans and wishes known that I might not have expressed otherwise, because it just doesn't seem like the end of life is around the corner, even for me at my age. So I was grateful for that time. But I think I am most grateful because this whole COVID situation is just a giant illustration of how the world as we know it can be turned on a dime. Mm. And we know that it is going to turn and be changed in a moment, one day, not so far in the future, where things have to begin to happen to hasten Jesus' soon return. So this is a tap on the shoulder from God saying, if you're not ready, get ready, and then stay ready, and then do your part to help someone else to be ready. These are the things that I am grateful for. Thank you all for all of your prayers and all of your support.
Praise God. Thank you. I love that term, tap on the shoulder. God is tapping us, each of us, this nation, this world on the shoulder. And so gratitude, Sister Lisa, guards against envy. Gratitude helps us to live in the present. Hallelujah. Gratitude is your testimony. And so every envy makes us want what somebody else has. We deserve this. Gratitude makes us realize that God has given us far more than we deserve, because there's enough for everyone. We can cheer rather than compare. Amen. A heart wholly grateful has no room left for envy. And the psalmist in Psalm 138 verse 1 says, I will give thee thanks with all of my heart, not a divided heart. So thank the Lord. Gratitude helps us live in the present. Whenever you are, wherever you are, be all there. Don't be divided. Amen. Be contented. But that's difficult to do in a worry and rushed life. We've got too much on the plate and we're trying to grab at this, grab at that. Take time every day to live in the moment with God. You're worshiping him. Stay with the task. We have a problem as a society. We like to multitask.
it doesn't work. God wants 100% of our time and attention. And so gratitude helps us. Gratitude opens our eyes to the simple beauty of ordinary days. It lets us see this day and this moment as a gift and to take in the abundance right now. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, "Say not, where were the former were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." So don't look back and say the good old days. Live in the present. Amen. And so gratitude is the testimonies that we've heard. Sharing your testimony. None of these ladies hesitated. They had a testimony that they wanted to share. When we thank God openly and acknowledge that He is what He has done for us, we proclaim a personal, caring God to the world around us. We show that contentment and peace comes not from what we have, but from who we are. And so give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Psalms 105, verse 1. And so developing a grateful heart brings incredible blessings. And so we must every day refresh that. Refresh our gratitude list. Start with life. I was able to swing my legs over the bed. Get out of the bed this morning. You know how many people have heart attacks? Most heart attacks occur first thing in the morning. When you swing that leg off the bed to stand up, that's when most heart attacks occur. Check it out. And so today, I'm so grateful that we have the testimony of a senior citizen, Sister Frieda Thornton. By all the matrix and all of the statistics, should not be with us. So thank God for you, Sister Frieda. Share your testimony with us.
2 days ago, November 26, I turned 78 years old.
Praise God.
By the way, I share that birthday, November 26th, with Ellen White.
And all right.
Yes, I was actually born on Thanksgiving Day in 1942. I offer no meaning to those two coincidences. On July 6, 2020, I thought I was about to die. I know that every day we all come closer to death or the return of Jesus, whichever comes first. But to get the coronavirus when thousands and thousands of people the world over are dying from it and no cure or antidote is in sight, and you repeatedly hear that all the people in your age range who are dying the most, well, it leaves you to wonder if your time is up. At least that's what I thought. Back when I told my church family that I had tested positive for the virus, I had no intentions of telling you. But right before I gave the stewardship spotlight on July 18, I just blurted it out. It wasn't in my script. Why did I do that? Because I wanted you to pray for me, because I know the power of prayer. One of the good things about being part of a church family is that they will pray for you if they know your plight.
Yes.
While every prayer doesn't go the way the prayer wants it to go, I know to lean on God for strength and courage in any situation, trusting Him to increase my faith. The book of James is a good go-to for handling setbacks like the coronavirus. James begins his book with saying we should count it all joy when we fall into a trial. Praise God, because your faith is being tested, and you will end up with patience to wait on the Lord, from whom our help comes. James ends his book with the same theme, saying we are to pray for one another that we may be healed, because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So thank you so much for praying for me. Now I'll tell you a little bit about what I went through. My daughter, a family medicine doctor in San Bernardino, California, went immediately into recovery mode. She had me taking 5 wellness formula pills twice a day to boost my immune system. I had to check my temperature and oxygenation level daily. I had to lie on my stomach as much as possible so the virus would not settle in my lungs and cause pneumonia. and I had to take low-dose aspirin temporarily at first to prevent a clot from forming. My symptoms were fever, body aches, and general feeling of being worn down. I stayed excessively cold, even with wearing a sweater and having a room heater on. I felt so close to death that I called the executor of my will for some last-minute directives. After 3 or 4 days of feeling bad, I began to feel much better. And 7 days from the start of all this, I went on my usual walk. Later that day, I finally received the news that I had tested positive for the virus. So I had to quarantine at home. Now, that was one of the best parts of my illness because I kept getting better and better. And Jay and Jenny were faithful in seeing that I received my regular meals and any medical items I needed. I never had to interact with any of the other members of my family, and none of them were infected. They were told not to get tested unless they had some of the symptoms of the disease, but they did have to quarantine. And someone from the health department called daily to see if they were okay. The other best part of my illness is that it brought me closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Though I was not always a Christian, I'm so grateful to have grown up in a Seventh-day Adventist, as a Seventh-day Adventist, because I think my lifestyle choices through the years were a help in my fast recovery. Amen.
Praise God.
I heard a doctor say the coronavirus is a lifestyle disease and it's not new. It's been around before, just not in pandemic proportion. One important way to keep from getting COVID-19 is to keep your immune system strong. Some things you can do is eat a plant-based diet, drink lots of water, get a good amount of sleep, and exercise. Also, the higher your vitamin D level, the less chance you have of getting this disease. I am grateful to God for healing me. I know that getting this disease does not mean I can't get it again, but I thank God for wellness today. I praise him for his goodness and mercy, and I pray that I will never take his love for granted, but allow the Holy Spirit to do as one of my favorite Bible texts says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's Psalm 32:8. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. You had me tearing up there, Sister Frieda. 78.
78.
Wow. Bless you. I'm going to share just a few quotes to tie this together from the servant of the Lord. She writes in Acts of the Apostles, page 353, and I'll share just a few. But thank you again for that beautiful testimony. She says that the indolent forfeit the invaluable experiences gained by a faithful performance of the common duties of life. Did you get that? Lazy people, they don't perform the faithful duties of life. They're not intentional. And that's what you gave us, raised as an Adventist and following the Adventist lifestyle. That is powerful. That is what helped you at 78 to overcome this disease.
Amen.
Note, a few, but not a few, she says, but thousands of human beings exist only to consume the benefits which God in his mercy bestows on them. They forget to bring to the Lord gratitude offerings for the riches he has entrusted to them. They forget that by trading wisely on the talents lent them, they are to be producers as well as consumers.
Amen.
If they comprehend the work that the Lord desires them to do as his helping hands, they would not shun responsibility. At age 78, Sister Frieda is serving her church. She's our stewardship director. And every time one of the team members share of what it means to be a steward, we are blessed. Whenever Sister Frieda shares something, it stays with me because she has not gotten to the place where she says, well, I'm old, I don't need to do anything, I just sit and enjoy. She's giving back. The servant of the Lord goes on to say, not until God ceases to bless his children will they cease to be under bond to return to him the portion that he claims.
Not only should they render to the Lord the portion that belongs to him, but they should bring also to his treasury a gratitude offering. Did you hear that? A gratitude offering. Every time you have a birthday, give an offering of gratitude, a liberal tribute. With joyful hearts, they should dedicate to the Creator the first fruits of their bounties. How many consume all they have on themselves? They don't want to give tithe or offering. Thus they will gain rich blessings. God himself will make their souls like a watered garden whose waters fail not. And when the last great harvest is gathered in, the sheaves that they have enabled to bring to the master will be the responses of their unselfish use of the talent lent to them. Use your time, your talent, for the glory of God. You have not the elements of a contented spirit, the servant of God says. You dwell upon the troubles, imaginary wants, and poverty far ahead stare at you in the face. You feel afflicted, distressed, agonized. Your brain seems on fire. Your spirit is depressed. Mm. You do not cherish love to God and gratitude of heart for all the blessings which your kind Heavenly Father has bestowed upon you. You see only the discomforts of life. A worldly insanity shuts you in like heavy clouds of thick darkness. Satan exults over you because you will have misery when peace and happiness is at your command. Mm. Hallelujah. Not a good hallelujah, but that's what we should have, peace and contentment. Troubles, she says. Troubles. In Adventist Home, page 18. Troubles may invade, but these are the lot of humanity. Let patience, gratitude, and love keep sunshine in the heart through the day, though the day may be ever so cloudy. So when COVID comes, when COVID goes, still have a cheerful spirit. There is calmness to a life lived with gratitude. And all of these ladies that have shared their testimony, I love the calmness in their spirits. They're not easily ruffled. They have that peace that is from within. And so the songwriter says, faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Holy, holy, holy is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. And the other songwriter, he writes, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. So thank you, ladies, for your testimony today. Testimonies of gratitude. And may we who have not had COVID, may we recognize that every day is a gift from God. And every time we swing our legs off our beds and we stand up and we can speak, we can see all of the senses that God has given us, let us show gratitude to him. Rather than having a long list of things we don't have, what we need, let us give him gratitude and thanksgiving for all of his benefits to us. May God bless you. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this service of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank you for these three testimonies, and there are many others who have gone through this experience who could have shared their testimony, but God, you chose these three. And we thank you for what they have shared with us. May we look with thanksgiving and gratitude on their stories, and that our hearts will be spurred and yearn to show thanksgiving every day to you. Even when the days are cloudy, when the rain falls, we will give you thanks. When the sun shines, we'll give you thanks. For we ask this all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.